Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is our continuation in the reading of the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. You may be seated. This chapter, John 11, called to mind for me the classic Charles Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities. The story famously begins with the assertion it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and then unfolds this incredibly complicated plot of loyalty and betrayal, sacrifice and salvation. Now, I'm not suggesting that there is some sort of close parallel between the fictional plot woven by Dickens in an 18th century setting between England and France and the biblical events in first century Palestine. But variations on the book's title and that opening line could perhaps be useful for our consideration of John 11. The gospel events occur, like the novel, in two locations, Bethany and Jerusalem, although only one of them could really properly be called a city. Bethany was more of a village. And so we can't just appropriate the title as it is. Moreover, John isn't telling a tale of his own creative imagination. He is recounting the historic events of our Lord. And in this particular event, we see the radically different ways in which people responded to Jesus' miraculous ministry. And so, with thanks to Dickens for the seed of the idea, I would title John chapter 11, A Telling of Two Responses. Now, I admit, it doesn't sound quite as catchy as the book title. I don't imagine such a title would fly off the shelves at a Barnes & Noble. A Telling of Two Responses. Probably not. But my proposed title really doesn't need to make John's writing a bestseller. The Holy Spirit has already long accomplished that. The title is simply intended to focus us on what ought not be missed, that occurs somewhat in the shadow of Jesus' most extraordinary miracle while he was on this earth. And with that purpose in view, this account of John could well begin with the opening line, it was the best response, it was the worst response. And here's what I mean. All attention was on the grieving sisters, Martha and Mary, in the village of Bethany where they had just buried their brother Lazarus. And joining them in their grief are friends and acquaintances who have come from nearby Jerusalem, just 2 miles away, to help them in their grieving. It was customary to sit with the grieving and help them openly express their sorrow. There was no holding it in the Middle East. And so news of Lazarus' death had likely spread, and quickly there were fellow mourners along with the women. But the arrival of one particular close friend changed that scene dramatically. Someone announced that Jesus was coming. You see, by now, he was famous throughout the region, both beloved and despised. By now, he had walked on water, fed the 5,000, healed many diseases, and as Pastor Jennings explored last week, he had restored the sight of a man born blind. Everyone knew that he had an extraordinary power. Martha and Mary knew it too. And they knew him personally. And that's why they reached out to Jesus while Lazarus still lay in his illness. In verse 2, we read, the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. It was their way of saying, come and help us. But he didn't come, not right away. And now, seemingly too late, their friend does arrive. Martha gets up and likely runs out to him. Right away, she blurts out this expression of disappointment, grief, and faith. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She immediately adds, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And you can hear this hopefulness in her voice that she's not quite willing to express. And so Jesus gently prompts her, your brother will rise again. Even so, she still dare not hope in the moment. Instead, she speaks this word of faithful future hope. I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus offers her words of incredible clarity. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? He asks. And Martha responds with what must be called one of the most incredible confessions of faith that occurred before the resurrection. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world. And all of this, remember, occurs while Lazarus is still dead. He is still in the tomb. She is still in her grief. And in the face of all that she was enduring, it can be easily said of Martha, it was the best response imaginable. And after Lazarus was raised from the dead, news probably spread back to Jerusalem even faster than news of his earlier death. And while some of the witnesses did indeed place their faith in Jesus, others rushed off to report a kind of miraculous scandal to the Pharisees. Remember, it was the Pharisees who had angrily interrogated the man whose sight Jesus had restored. And instead of celebrating this miracle with him, they end up casting him out of the temple as some kind of sinner. And these are likely among the same people who wanted to stone Jesus when he declared that his ability to work such miracles had come from the Father. That's the end of John chapter 10. And now this. Now he even raised a man from the dead. It's just too much for them. What are we to do? They ask of one another. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take our place and our nation. But they never once asked who he really is. They never once considered what he said before coming to see Lazarus. Jesus had said to them, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in him. Martha sought with all her heart to believe more deeply. The religious leaders sought with all their strength to deny what was right in front of them, choosing condemnation over confession. And so our reading ends at verse 53. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. It was the worst possible response. A telling of two responses. Responses to the most incredible miracle ever performed by a man to walk upon the earth. But even more importantly, two diametrically opposed responses to the man himself. The one response, Martha's, strives toward faith, life in Christ guided by the Spirit. The other response, that of the Sanhedrin, the council, strives toward death, a life of denial and unbelief, guided by a human desire for power and control above all else. And these two responses are precisely what St. Paul has in view in his writing in Romans 8, our first reading today. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So what about us? What is our response? What's your response? You see, the telling of these two responses never really ends. Even the Dickens epic novel finally comes to an end. Interestingly, it concludes with one final act of sacrifice that gives life to another. And in our day, we are still blessed to hear the very word of God proclaimed. We hear Jesus again today declared through John's gospel. We hear him say unto us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? And many, many will never ask, who is this man? Many will never permit themselves to really listen. Many will seek to have the word of God and the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord of life cast out from our culture. And those voices are often loud and angry, just as the voices that called for crucifixion of the Savior himself were loud and angry. But let us stand alongside Martha, this extraordinary woman who bore witness to Jesus in the midst of grief and sorrow. Let us do the same. He knows when our lives are burdened in all manner and sorts of ways. When he stood in the midst of the grief expressed for his dear friend, the man Jesus, who was one of us, wept in compassion. His passion for you is equally deep and equally dear. And in the midst of your burden, go to him. Confess again with Martha that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world to save us and to bring us back from death to life. This is the best of responses to the greatest gift of love that we will ever know. Amen.